This is Player One.
This is Player Two.
And you're listening to another great show only on the Four Eyed Radio Network.
The Third.
For more great shows, check out www.foureyedradio.com.
Hi, this is Kyle from Arcade Bros. If you're like me, you like a little joy in your life. We're proud to present that we are sponsored by America Joy Print Shop. If you need cut vinyl, store lettering, business printing, forms, car magnets, and anything else printing needs, America Joy is the one for you. When you contact America Joy, just tell them the Fern sent you.
I need a sandwich.
I'm hungry.
I am Fat Man.
You sick, twisted fiend.
Oh,
so I see you brought the entire party.
Why would you feed a man before throwing him out of a plane?
Because it's better than him trying to sink or swim.
Peanuts.
The size of a tangerine.
The size of...
Where is he?
Right out of the cage.
You rattle the cages. Cages were
rattled. I'm sorry. I can't understand you.
You ever wonder how I got these scars?
Did you get them at Applebee's?
No. Those were the appetizers.
All they needed was a little push.
And then...
marinara sauce.
I don't know where we're going with that.
Hi, guys. Welcome to Long Box Cast, Episode 4. This is your host, Kyle, with his sidekick, Steve-O.
I am nobody's sidekick. You diabolical banana fan of Bobana Fiend!
Holy Toledo's Batman.
Boom, Batman. You're at it again. This podcast, of course, is brought to you by America Joy Print Shop, official sponsor of the Four Eyed Radio Network. Business cards, flyers, posters, banners, cut vinyl, car wraps, and more. Please visit AmericaJoy.com for more information, and just tell them that the Fern sent you. We also have support from Raven Designs, illustrations and design that fit your personality. For samples and inquiries, visit RavenCruise.com. And as always, we have support for Critical Care Comics. You can visit them by going to CriticalCareComics.org. They donate to children's hospitals and also do cosplay in support of children's health. So
I am going to go to Raven's Designs and make her make me a brand new bat logo. Why would you make a logo when your other one was destroyed by Commissioner Gordon?
Holy Toledo's Batman. Sounds like you need a graphic designer.
I like Tostitos potato chips. They're delicious.
What a beautiful singing voice. Yeah,
what a beautiful singing voice.
That was my favorite
you
part.
You, be quiet, Bane.
So, of course, we got quite a bit of shout-outs. We'll start there. In case you guys don't realize that we're doing a lot of Batman stuff, because we're going to do a whole episode dedicated to the Batman saga.
The Dark Knight. We don't even know. We might even split this up into two episodes.
We might have to.
We came up with ideas that we might be starting doing other...
Actually... credit where credit's due. We kind of a format, I guess, for the blogcast where we're trying to do like specific, you know, like topics we want to talk about or sort of specific issues or things we're reading. But Steve came up with a brilliant idea of like every so often we'll pick a character and just do a whole like couple podcasts just about them, because there's so much content with a lot of these characters and how we got into it, why we got into them, you know, what makes them unique, and talk about the history and talk about like everything relating to film, products, toys, like everything. So Stevie was the one who came up with it. So
yeah, and then I also talked about us even doing maybe our own DVD commentaries where we'll go ahead and watch the movie on our own, then we'll watch it together and record the podcast. We'll have you guys sync up with us, so if you want to listen to it.
If we have any fun facts
or we decide to goof around with it, or yeah, just exactly. Be like, this was a really horrible adaptation.
Because let's face
movie.
It, Steve and I, we ended up watching the animated version of
Doctor Strange,
and it was horrible. Oh, it was good. I'd say it was okay.
I mean,
but
it's pretty good.
It made it so much better when Steve was doing voices to it, especially with the old guy and everything.
I found Netflix. Before you get into the shout-outs, a big shout-out I forgot to mention on Arcade Bros. I found out who it was because their podcast actually followed me today.
What?
There's a podcast called Pod Crash with Chris Gore. Now, if that name does not sound familiar, he's actually a guy who used to be on Attack of the Show back when it was on G4, and that was actually a video game kind of.
That's right. I remember Chris Gore, yeah.
Not only did Chris Gore follow all of us, basically all of our podcasts on the network, he also followed me. I don't know if he followed anybody else. But then when I followed him back today, he actually, his podcast followed me today. So I want to give him a shout out because that's actually kind of a big, that is a big bump.
That's a big guy.
I'll just have to say, we are coming for you, Chris Hardwick.
Holy Toledo's Chris Hardwick. Watch out, zombies.
We'll have him on and we'll do the Talking Dead bat.
Yeah, exactly. We'll just do Talking Dead, even though we're talking about other stuff.
Like, oh, I thought there was going to be zombies.
I thought you guys invited me on the show to talk about other things. Yeah, so how was Loveline?
Yeah.
Didn't do so good, did it? I wasn't on that show.
No, he was singled out. He was
Totally. We'll talk about everything.
So I was on Show Blind Date,
Exactly. Like all these shows that he wasn't
what
even a part of.
What are you talking about?
According to Wikipedia,
I loved you on Family Feud.
God, you were so great.
You were so good. Survey says!
Weren't you the guy who spun the wheel?
Yeah.
On
no, damn it. But we'll go ahead with our shout-outs.
We got quite a bit, yeah. So we have, these are all people who we've had, like, again, friends and family that have followed us, as well as people that we might have missed, just because there's been so many. We have Carlisle Rice.
Carlisle Rice.
Christopher Robert Murray.
Christopher Robert Murray.
And, of course, these are Facebook friends, follows. So,
I'm just going to keep repeating.
That's fine. Possible.
Possible.
Movie critic.
Movie critic.
Cy Young.
Cy Young.
Derek Barris.
Derek Barris.
Christy Russell.
Christina Russell.
Stefan Andrews.
Stefan Andrews.
Angel Dean Stidham.
I'm not pronouncing that name.
That name
sounds
too
much. I believe she goes by Angel Dean Stidham, but I could be wrong. Why would you make a long name if I wasn't going to say it?
Why would you shoot a man only to spell his name Stidham? Ashley Wong.
Ashley Wong.
Mark Norman.
I wonder what would break first.
Your Ashley or your Wong? Mark Norman.
Mark Norman.
We got the famous Tavis Maiden.
Tavis Mavis.
Mavis. That's how famous it is. We just changed your name. Yeah, you have to go by Mavis. All the world is going to know you as Mavis.
I apologize, Tavis. I screwed that up.
You were so excited to see his name.
Oh my God, someone's following me.
Jim Miller. Nancy Lewis Garrigus, I want to say.
Sounds like, what's that? What was that Japanese monster? Oh, the Pokemon. Gyarados.
Gyarados. There you go. Nancy Lewis Gyarados.
We're just wasting an hour on this before we actually get people are like, Batman.
James Laird. He was a secret Batman villain in 1970. No,
was it?
No, Eric Berry.
Eric Berry.
Kevin Elliott.
You know what he should change his name to, Eric Ooh. Berry? Eric Berry Crunch.
Crunch Berry Crunch. Eric.
Kevin Elliott.
Kevin Elliott. We have Cathal De Joseph. We have Quinn Tiger Fang Lacey.
That's not your real name.
No. We also have Christopher Smith.
That's not a name either.
Cirrus Aurelia. We also have Dustin Scarupa or Scustin.
Actually, Syria and Dustin have, believe, have both been on Arcade Bros.
Super nerdy best friends.
Super nerdy best friends. No, I will not climb your building again.
But it's on the Fern building.
Riddle me this. No. Go ahead. Sorry.
You riddle me.
We have Stephen Mastin. We have James Goodman. And to be fair, his brother is James Badman.
Oh, that's true. His evil twin. We also have Joanne Smith Mooney. We have no idea who that is. We also have Aaron Mooney. We have no idea who she is. And then Aaron Gallagher.
Get back to your Star Trek.
And then, of course, tweets. We have at 13 Coins Comics. We have at Super Beefo. We have at Steve P37.
That's me.
At Gray Listation.
That's me, too.
We have at Paul Chelsea 81.
That's not me.
And then at Tom _ Twits.
That's actually my superhero name.
And then we also had a follow and a favorite by the comic list today on this week because we posted about them.
Awesome.
If you want, we could start about what we are reading until we get into our character of the spotlight this week, which, of course, is the Batman or Bruce Wayne, whichever one you prefer.
Actually, I want to go with...
You want to just do that and skip these for next time?
No, I was going to say I was actually, or technically, I was going to start with the best Robin ever, Todd.
Oh yeah, Todd. Todd Bacon.
Yeah, who knows?
What was his name?
It was Todd. Dick Grayson.
Dick Grayson wasn't in. Tim Drake.
Tim Drake.
Then it was Todd.
Todd
Stevenson.
Todd, who got killed by the Joker, became Red Hood. That's all. I don't think anyone cares.
And it was funny because I was just looking at it because I was looking for... There was a comic. My very first Batman comic featured a character which I didn't remember who he was. And when I was looking up the... Like, I was trying to look for the comic cover. Like, every Todd just kept coming up. And I was like, oh, yeah, Todd. Like, who's in?
What was the thing? Actually, they just posted. So, if you're not familiar with the DC universe, a thing Warner Brothers has been doing, and they've been doing it really well, is they've been taking graphic novels and making it an adaptation into the animated movies and just releasing those on the Blu-ray, DVD, and downloadable and stuff like that. So, the last one they did... was the Flashpoint Paradox,
yes.
Which was a really good one. We'll probably do a commentary on that. I don't know when, but the next one has just been released. They released the trailer, and it's called Son of Batman.
Ooh.
And it's basically going to be the story between Batman and his son Damian.
Jason Todd. Well, because the reason I was looking up is because like the comic I remember first getting when we were young. We used to go to the like Safeway or whatever and just get it for like 25 cents.
Okay, before we get into it, whoever, anybody out there, please let us know if you ever remember picking up your comics actually from a grocery store.
Yeah, like going to just wherever
that
like
was.
Fries
that
or
was crazy.
Because I remember, yeah, they used to just be on record. They used to have. They then started getting like spawns and things.
Yeah, they started doing that. And then it wasn't until, I don't know when it was, but then they decided just to be like, you have to pick these up at a comic
book store. Yeah, like, I guess either it wasn't lucrative enough or they were just getting stolen too much, so they decided to, like, yup. And then, like, then it was like, where's an atomic, like, where's a comic
book
store?
Yeah, we didn't know where comic books
were. And then, like, eventually we found out because of the Valley Luna that was down there by Ray, the Atomic Comics used to be there. Like, that's where it first was. And that was the first comic
store. There was actually a comic book shop over by, in Ahwatukee. It was over by the Circle K area, like, where the Goodwill is and stuff like that. There used to be one there before they actually
really?
Built it up. Yeah.
See, I didn't even know that. And we lived right there. But it was cool because the comic I was looking for, and I can't find it, I'll have to literally go home and dig it out, was the cover was just showing a guy who had blonde hair. And he's holding up the Batman cowl, and it was all about how like he infiltrated like the Batcave, and like he had whole like thing. So when I was looking up, like they said that Jason Todd had blonde hair in certain comics, like back in the day. So it might have been like a story arc with him, and I just never realized it because literally it was a comic I just picked up because I saw this cool like guy holding up the Batman mask. I'm like, oh, who's this?
Well, and that's then, what really sold you on the comics. They would always have a really cool kind of cover. You're like, whoa, why is Batman blonde?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. I was like, why is Batman blonde now? Is he in disguise or something? But no, I was like, I guess it's a whole storyline with him, like where he comes back. And then I guess in that version, was something with Superboy Prime did something causing like him, Jason Todd, to wake up out of his coffin.
Okay.
He kind of was in a hospital for a while, and then he got recognized by people in a gang, and they knew Talia al Ghul.
Mm-hmm.
So she ended up realizing that he wasn't all there, so she then lowered him into the pit, but her father was in the pit too. And that's how they like combined like almost their personality. So that's why he had this very vengeful like thing for Batman and stuff. And then only recently has he become kind of more
that
of
was
a
actually
hero
a very man. Good that was another adaptation that it said Under the Red Hood.
Yeah.
And I forget who was playing Batman that, but the guy who played Nightwing was Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah.
And
one. Then also yeah, then that was the one with the Red Hood story, Under the Red Hood.
Yeah, that was actually
animated.
The one where it was John DiMaggio, who does Bender and Jake the Dog and stuff like that. This was the first time that
they did somebody
like they did somebody different than
and his Joker
Mark
was
Hammond.
Good.
And his Joker was really good.
Yeah,
I really
liked
his Joker, so
because it had a more of a classier, like, oh, you know, like it was more,
yeah.
It was more psychotic than it was more like hilarious,
But
he did have some moments though. Like I like that part where like he said something, you know, like this guy's nothing but a psychopathic man. And he's still running the streets, and he's like, oh, you do care about me,
yeah.
Or like, oh, you do talk about me. Like it was just like it was pretty good. But yeah, I liked his portrayal of that. But of course, like that's why I think it's funny is like anytime somebody else does the Joker, people feel a little bit like boo secretly because it's like always go to Mark Hamill. But I was very impressed with what they did with like the Batman Origins Joker.
Batman Origins.
That was the game.
Oh, where
his
they
Joker
had...
and it was those whole new two guys and they
yeah,
did I think
a they did
a
phenomenal
job.
They actually did a really good job with that Joker, and I just like how everything was with that. It was also really cool because they also did, I forget who also, the guy who played Ben in Lost.
Yeah.
He was the evil guy who's also on Person of Interest. He actually voiced the Joker in The Dark Knight Returns.
That's right.
The
Blu-ray
that came
Blu-ray,
out. And
yeah.
He did a good job with that too. Because
like his was more just
He was just like, oh, and then it wasn't until Batman came back. I love how that ended because he's all like, Batman's back. And he finally smiles. Like he was just like,
yeah, like
he was just kind of like there. Like just,
yeah, because he was like in the Arkham. He was just kind of like
in Arkham and stuff like that. It's a really well done. These are like, I definitely say instead
movies.
Of watch these animated movies, which are really phenomenal and awesome stuff like that. But I say
definitely pick up the books
because they are phenomenal.
Because I think it translates very well because then you get to see them like in motion. Like you read the books and you kind of can piece it where it was like not just the green. You had like the yellow, you had the red, you had the blue. And they were kind of like going Power Rangers on us, where like now like the different OAs, the different rays of like fear and things. And then it was cool the way they did it in the book, because death, or the blackest nights, as they're called, there's a big prophecy, and it's like a tale, I guess, from the old days of, I guess, the Green Lantern mythos. There's a thing called the Blackest Night. It's like about like the end of the world and where the darkness would come back into the world. And what I liked is in that saga, the death see what's going on in each character. Like you see like Superman and like Superboy, mm-hmm. and you can see like at one moment it's like you can see like the color hope, you can see the color fear.
Yeah, because one of the flashes becomes like a blue Green Lantern.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that.
And then what was cool and it like then what was really neat about it is like there's a part where then Superman goes nuts and like uses his heat risen. And then, like, then all, like, his colors are just rage. Like, it just shows rage, and you see, like, him, like, cutting off zombie heads and stuff. And that's basically what it was. Like, as far as I understood it, Marvel came out with the Marvel Zombies, and then DC was kind of pushing the Green Lantern Corp thing. And it was cool. This was, like, around the time where Batman died. Like,
yes.
This is where he'd
went
back
in time.
Oh, yeah,
when they supposedly thought that Batman died. That's actually a really good read, too.
It was great, because then, like, Tim Drake picks up the... or Dick Grayson picks up the mantle of Batman.
Yes.
And then Damian picks up the mantle of Robin.
Yes.
I think Red Hood was, I think at the time, the British version, the Red Eagle or the Red Hawk or whatever.
Red Robin. That's actually Tim Drake.
Yeah, so he was in it as well. Tim Drake was in it older. And it was really cool because then they were like, there was something where the police station was being under attack and like Barbara and Jim were like using shotguns to fight off these like zombies. And then, so then they both had to go there and they had to use, they decided like, it was great because Damian was like talking about like, oh, I could use this firearm and this rappel, and they're like, no guns. And they're like, what kind of upbringing did you have? And he just kind of looked at them like, because I guess in his storyline he was raised by Talia and had more of a mercenary upbringing. So then they end up like using flamethrowers. So it's just wicked to see like all of them like using flamethrowers and stuff, trying to fight like zombie versions of superheroes. And it was cool because then they brought back like, that's what's so great about it, is they brought back all these characters they killed off. I guess in the comic saga, they killed off the Puppet Master.
Okay.
So then it was like him, and then he ended up having a ring, and he spawned like Scarface as a puppet, as a thing. They had the Graysons who died. They brought them back psychological.
Yeah,
because
wasn't like the leader of the Black Lantern Corps, wasn't it Solomon Grundy?
Yeah, yeah. Like at first, he was Solomon Grundy took over. There was like a head guy. Like he was like one of the OAs that left and like died or perished or something. There was a big conflict. I think it was the guy who was. In the movie that they did with Ryan Reynolds, it was that guy becomes like the death. And he's like literally he is death. Like he's a skeleton and he has the thing. And it's really neat. But the way they ended it was very much like where they were getting into like the whole light aspect. And I don't know if you've read it all yet. But I guess like in the, later on, what was his name? Mephisto? His nemesis?
Oh, Sinestro.
Sinestro, yes. Sinestro actually becomes, like, the light. Like, he becomes, like, the white lantern.
Oh,
like,
really?
He was always, like, supposed to be, like, the most powerful lantern or whatever. So he gives up the mantle of fear, which is what he was running. He was running the Fear Corps. And they actually all combine their powers, and then he becomes, like, a light-like version. Like, there was dark and then, like, a white version. And
yeah,
so
that was
he
actually,
up, like,
that was actually
doing
real.
That.
I should let you borrow that, the Green Lantern New 52 reboot, because when it starts out, you just see Sinestro, and he gets his green ring back.
Yeah, and you're kind of like,
and
huh?
You're like, okay, and then he becomes it, but you see how Jordan was banned from the Lantern Corps and everything like that, but then Sinestro finds out that, like, his home planet is actually overrun by the old yellow Lantern Corps, so he goes back to Earth, gets Hal Jordan, gives him a ring,
saying, like,
But the only thing, like, he goes to use it on him, he goes, that's the only problem with the ring. He's like, you can keep this ring, you can do whatever you want with this ring, but the ring will never be able to hurt me.
Oh.
So it was kind of like that kind of thing. So it was kind of a cool twist.
So then it made, like, a cool alternative where, like...
Yeah, because it's like, now you're kind of forced to help me, and you can't really do anything, because he could shut it off anytime
he
wanted.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
so.
Now you're kind of working for the guy.
So
like,
it was pretty interesting to see that. It was kind of cool because it showed it again, like with these new 52s, it's like I've never gotten
into...
It's
like they're rebooting it, but they're still holding homage to like what they did already.
What they
did
already.
You don't want to like ruin any of that like backstory.
No, definitely. But the cool part is it's like you don't want to like... it's some of these characters that I never got a chance to get into, such as what I was just telling you before, which I'll talk about what I read finally this week. But it's like the Green Lantern. It's like, again, I never really knew too much about Hal Jordan. I knew a little bit about him, but it's kind of cool to see him like he's back. And then he sees like a guy like beating a woman, and he literally jumps from a building and crashes in that building and starts beating up the guy. Has no powers anymore, has no ring, but because he was in that lifestyle for so many years, he just has that instinct way. And then it stops and he turns over, and it turns out they were just filming a movie.
Oh.
But his instinct still, but then people are like, you jump through one building to another building. Yeah. And it's like, you're not, and then even like, I
like
think
you don't had no fear of
like,
it.
Yeah. And even the girl that was, she's like, you're no longer the Green Lantern. You can't keep doing this kind of stuff. So it was kind of a cool twist.
Yeah, because then he realized like how,
but then it also kind of shows him, but then it shows him like he's walking through, like he doesn't have a job. He doesn't have anything. He's like, he has no purpose right now. And he feels like kind of like, okay,
yeah, what am I here for?
So it was kind of a cool twist. I'd like to see what the next one is up. I got to pick up the second one to that one, but that one's really cool. But
yeah, you were reading one that you said we were talking about a little bit about the Flash volume.
Yeah, so we're again. I'm sorry, picking up a lot of characters. Like I told you, it's like Superman. I gave another shot because I really didn't know.
Yeah,
too much
and especially
about Superman,
that book,
and
was,
that book
really
was really
good.
Cool. Of course, Batman is always going to be my go-to guy, but I really actually got into the Flash because I've been trying to find the Green Arrow book. They didn't have one, and all this other. These are just other ones that I'm like, you know, these are characters that are interesting, especially watching like Young Justice and stuff. I'm like, these are characters that I want to get know more and a little bit more about their backstory and learn some more about them. So it's like the Flash. I want to find out. So the Flash in the Justice League cartoon. Show they made him very witty, very quick wit, but he wasn't really the smartest one in the world, and he had like that charm to him, I guess. But if you read the comics, Barry Allen was a scientist, and you find out that the cause of his powers was the accident. But it's really cool because I didn't really know too much about his powers. Like when you read the book, he's like, I've been doing this for 5 years, I'm still gonna make mistakes, the only way I'm gonna fix these mistakes is
by learning
and learn by my errors. But it's like you find out stuff like he's talking about, like he's like, yeah, I know how to run, I can run faster than the speed of light, I can, you know, I can make these vortex and stuff like that, like spin my arms really fast and make little tornadoes to put out fires. He's talking about how he can like make his molecules like vibrate so much and actually pass through solid material. So you're hearing all this stuff. But then there was a part where this doctor's talking to him. He's like, you need to be faster. And Flash is like, what are you talking about? He's like, you need to tap into your brain speed. He's like, so he does it, and he finds out that he can actually tap in and actually see things before they happen. So he almost gets kind of a glimpse into the future.
Oh, wow.
So you see, like, all this stuff, like, come out like this, and he runs really quick, takes care of everything that he needs to take care of, and then all this stuff just happens. Like, he stops, like, these robbers and a kid getting hit from a car and all this kind of stuff, just, like, all simultaneously.
Yeah, because he was able to see it all.
And he comes back. But then what's really cool, because then he's like, oh, he can plot out everything. But he gets to this part where these guns are all on him, and he's all like, you guys better, you know, give up. It's going to be – he's always thinking, okay, I'm going to get my ring going. I'm going to be able to take all these guys out. But not only was his brain too fast for him, but his instincts were no longer as fast as he used to be with his instincts. So literally, like, he gets shot, like, right in the head, but he was able to – do the vibrating
and
thing
make sure it
and
passed
it
through.
Just kind of passed through and almost nicked him, but he was out for a bit. But it was kind of cool where he was just kind of like, okay, I need to master some of this stuff. So it was really kind of cool just
how he's always learning
how to see all this kind of stuff. And then you find out like he's able to do these things where he's running around something really fast, either slow it down, speed it up, or kind of teleport it almost. But he doesn't realize that he starts teleporting things through kind of time and space.
Oh,
so they either get trapped in this weird vortex thing that shows up later on in the comic where you find out, or like he found out like he took this thing that was going to be a bomb pretty much and he transported it, but then he thought, oh, I got rid of it, it's done. But then it turns out it like ends up at another side of the world, and then like he exploded,
and of course
it takes out like stuff, and it's like, oh my god. So it's kind of cool to see him, like how smart he is and stuff like that,
and how he's learning
and how he's learning his powers and stuff. But it's actually a really fun read. The artwork was really well done. I liked a lot of the title pages, you know, for the comic, because it literally shows him running, and then it would have like something like he's running on water, and then you see like the Flash in the water, and it's like, you know, so it's kind of it's very, very cool and just very different though from reading like a Batman book and everything, because the Batman, it's, and what I like about it too is like you can really see difference in artists and color panels and stuff like that, because like the Flash is very bright, very colorful, you know, and stuff like that. Like it's even though it's night shots and stuff like that, you can still see like it's not as a darker shade than it would be like this is Gotham. So I did like that. I highly recommend it. He's a fun character. It's really kind of cool to see like how he interacts and stuff like that. But I love the whole just things with the time traveling and stuff like that. So how it ends is really good. Like you see him fall and crash, and then it's part of the they're in this They're in this world with all gorillas, so it's Grog.
Oh, nice. So they're bringing Grog. Because so that was one of his
That was one of his villains. Yeah, yeah, like the only one like he really runs into is Captain Cold.
Yeah, Captain Cold was his other one.
Is one of his villains, but it's all these different...
He had a lot of them. He had like the Trickster.
Yeah, he had the Trickster.
That was the one big one. And then even Mark Hamill played that guy.
Yeah, he played him in the actual TV series. Yeah. So that was what I read this week. So if you haven't checked out The Flash, I would definitely check it out. It's a really good reboot with the New 52. I am going to go back and pick up actually old issues because I still want to read The Flashpoint Paradox compared to how it was in the DVD and stuff, but it was fantastic. Yeah. So I guess without further ado, we'll jump into the main course event.
Time to get ourselves some rattle the cages. We're gonna rattle the cages. Or did you have a song for it?
Batman, quickly, old chum, we must go down to the Batcave.
Oh, they were calling it now.
You better not grease up my bat pole
with your childlike thighs.
Golly gee willikers, Batman.
If you guys haven't checked it out, there's a YouTube clip about the holy everything from the cartoon show.
Oh, yeah.
Where Robin's like, holy, you know, fly like a butterfly, sting like a bee. You know, it's like he just comes up with all these ones. That's really good. You should check it out. It's fun stuff.
Quickly, old chum, we were just released on Blu-ray and DVD sometime this year.
That's true. They just came out on a complete saga.
Well, I don't know if it's come out yet, but I know it's going to be coming out in 2014 finally. So, Kyle, what was we'll start with this. Before we get into the whole backstory of Batman, where he was created, what was your first introduction to Batman, basically?
I think... Again, like comic book wise, my first introduction was definitely that book that I picked up at like a Safeway for a couple cents. Like that was my first. I still have that. It's my very first Batman comic. I think my first experience was actually seeing the movie because our father was a huge Batman nut. He ended up getting that big old like book with all these like Batman stories in it.
Yeah,
that
the I think it's like the Batman like encyclopedia, but this was like from 19. Whenever it debuted to, like, I think 1991.
One.
Like, it wasn't, like, so anything current, it's probably been updated now, but...
Yeah. And it was just neat, because I remember, like, it was a fond memory, because it reminded me that my father is also kind of a nerd. Like, he also likes Star Wars and things like that, so it was kind of refreshing to see that not only was our father figure, like, somebody who worked and did things also, but he also still had passions for things as well. Like, and like, that attributed to us because then we were even more excited when we're like, oh, Spider-Man. And I remember that Christmas, too, because it was very, like, it was joyous to see him get something that was kind of, like, nerdy.
Yeah.
Like, oh, he's into superheroes, too. Like, all right. Like, we had, like, that connection where we all liked all kinds of heroes. You know, we had Spider-Man, we had Superman, we had Batman.
Well, our palette was a lot more broad, like, our palette became huge by the because for some strange reason superheroes were big when they first debuted. Like a lot of things were like, okay, let's try to figure this out, and then it kind of had a falling off. I don't know what time of the year it was, but literally 1990 or the 90s, I should say, is when Marvel had a huge boom, because I know that's when we all kind of got hooked. We started getting the trading cards.
Yeah, that was
all
the
action figures. You know,
cards.
We started getting the comic books, the video games, like all this kind of stuff. But again, we wouldn't see a Marvel movie. I mean, technically, there were Marvel movies that came out, but didn't do too well. I mean, there was a Punisher with Dolph Lundgren. There was the Captain America movie. There was the failed Fantastic Four movie that you could only get like a bootleg copy or find it online and watch it, which is just terrible. But there wasn't like any like the big movie that finally came out that kind of pushed the superhero movies was the 1989 Batman. That came out by Tim Burton. But like we said, we had a huge palette. I mean, we had Spider-Man, we had, you know, X-Men, we had all these different superheroes, and it wasn't until the 90s, I think, where superheroes really became big with us.
Big time, yeah. Like, it started really building. Like, I mean, like, Marvel had already had comic characters for a while. And, like, they've been doing well. Like, they actually did very well during, like, that whole 60s, 70s, 80s, you know, because it was all about, like, the hippie movement,
yes,
and this and that. Like, so they did very well because it was you would think too, like in a time when like the world was really changing and civil rights and all these other things were playing, like who would read comics? But still, like there was a generation of children that were born in that era, the baby boomers, like our parents and stuff, that really got into that kind of stuff because it was cool. It was kind of that pop culture, you know, things knew it. And it was actually pretty interesting because it was right around that time that also like some characters like Captain America and Superman started to die down because they weren't as popular. Like,
yes,
in a world where we had nuclear power, you know, are these characters really relevant? And of course, like after World War II, how relevant is a guy who's punching Hitler? Like, it's
well, yeah, that
to,
was the thing with Captain America, and then when they finally made the Avengers, and they came up with that whole backstory of him being frozen in time and all this kind of stuff.
And it's such a great story because he's such a good character, and it's such a pointed moment.
So they brought him back, but yeah, so basically, your first introduction to a Batman was pretty much through the comic books.
Yeah, for the most part, like my introduction was definitely through our father, the comics. Around that time is like 1989. That's when, like, growing up, we had friends who, I forget what it was. Like, it had, I think it had Came and Went in the theaters. I don't think we ever went to see it in the theaters.
We didn't go see it, but I remember Mom and Dad went to see
it. They saw it. And then I remember, obviously, yeah, because they were such a, he was a fan of stuff. But I remember this is a VHS. And I remember we were at a, I was at a, somebody's sleepover and they had it. I remember watching part of it. And then, of course, we fell asleep during it. But then I remember we got it like as a gift. Like someone got it for either.
Yeah, yeah. It was like Christmas. Like we'd always get like a one. That's so weird.
Exactly.
To say
here's
that.
Your
here's
one
your
movie.
One VHS that you share between all of you.
And we were all like, yeah.
Yeah, we were all excited. And then.
VHS!
But I will have to say, but yeah, I think my first introduction to Batman, because I wasn't really into, I like comic books, but I wasn't really into the reading of them yet. I kind of just liked the pictures. I wasn't that old yet to actually kind of understand most of the comprehension of some of that stuff. So my better introduction actually to Batman was when they started playing the repeats of the old 1966 show on, I think it was either like CBS or UPN, like early in the morning. It was during like the summer, and they always be on. They'd always do like a two, you know, a 30, an hour block of Batman, so you'd always get like two things. So I remember watching that, and then it wasn't until like I think the movie came out, and then you were like, this isn't like the Batman we saw, you know, like that I was used to seeing. And then it wasn't until I think what was it? It was probably when Batman Returns came out that really like kind of, you know, piqued your interest. But then again, we were little. But then again, now looking back at the Batman Return movie and how, how not only how violent it was, and also let's like the Penguin, I'm gonna kill all the babies in Gotham. It's like there
what?
Was a Happy Meal attached to this.
Yeah,
I remember
like,
those
yeah,
toys
exactly.
too.
Like what? There's a what with who did what?
There were so many weird things.
Well, but then on my favorite too was just like the. Batman never hurt anyone, and then he goes into, what was it, the Acme,
yeah, it was like the chemical plant,
yeah,
yeah,
blows it up. You know, there's people working late, you know, there's some janitors, like, hate the night shit, they're like, what?
Or, you know him, he was like, this is my last day.
Yeah, I'm out early retirement.
What is this?
Oh, look, a car.
Like, that was like,
that's a slick looking
It was so weird to see that, and it, like, thinking about it, like, growing up, didn't even occur to us, going like, oh yeah. And then you find out, like, when you start reading comic books and everything, you're like, Batman never, I mean, technically Batman did use a gun,
yeah,
in the early
in the early days
of his career, but then it was like, why use a
and
weapon?
Then it's cool because then that turned into his grappling,
yes,
like that was the whole point, it turned into his grappling thing.
So if you want to lay
so
if you want to lay some comic book knowledge on everybody, Kyle, unless you're still looking for information
smack
on the
down.
Batman when did
go
the,
for
when
it.
Did the oh no I don't have any I thought you were looking for
it. Like when did it all begin,
like
when did
Wikipedia
Batman,
or something like
that. When did Batman all get going?
Yeah,
well, I know, like, I watched, there's a documentary you can watch, it's on I believe it was on, what was it, I want to say there, a lot of the digital movies you could watch, like with the Batman, like they had that whole like Dark Knight, like it was during between like the Dark Knight Rises.
Yes.
They had like that movie. I think it was between Batman Begins and the Dark Knight.
Yes, it was Gotham Knights.
And they had like a whole documentary. Like what was cool about that is like it was all these other famous animators and studios like from Japan anime and all that stuff doing their versions of Batman, taking a story and retelling it and doing it in a very great art style. It talked about all these things that like it were really interesting. It was voiced by, you know, the original voice of Batman. And then what was cool is I believe on that also had like three or four episodes of the old classic animated Batman.
Yes.
And they were all my favorite ones. Like it was the one when like Jim Gordon discovers he's Batman.
Oh, that one was good. I forget what it was. That was, I think that one was called Over the Edge.
Over the Edge,
and
yeah.
And that one was written by Paul Dini. And it was basically they were going after the Scarecrow.
Yeah.
And you find out, like, you all of a sudden you just see Scarecrow push Barbara Gordon,
she
aka
hits
that
car,
girl,
like
she
the
hits
cop
the
car.
And like for a kid, this is the cool part about that show. For a child's animated show, the Batman the Animated Series, which literally I could do an entire month on, for a show that was like that, but when the show first premiered, the Batman show, it literally was, it was at night.
Yeah, it was at night.
It
was
on prime time.
I mean, it wasn't really like blood and guts or nothing,
but
it
did have
punching.
It did have a very good. It did have
shooting guns.
It had an adult overtone to it.
Yeah, it had quite a bit. And I remember because we used to watch it. Like we used to stay up until like 7 or 8 and watch it with our folks, and then they started recording it for us every once in a while. And then of course, like, you know, it was always on. Like every time you turn it on, it was like it started like a once a day, like once a week show. I remember that much. Like, it was like once every like Thursday. It was like, oh, Batman the Animated Series is on. And then it turned into like almost like every day
of the week,
which was great because then okay. I was like,
are you having troubles with Wikipedia?
No. I'm pulling stuff up right now. Like, what I'm doing is I'm pulling up about the creator.
I keep clicking on Wikipedia for the Batman thing, and it just keeps stalling out on me.
It could be them too. I mean, either one we're talking about and people are going nuts about, you know, Bob Kane.
Even though we're not live.
No.
Live. But
yeah, I have no idea. Something's going on. But I know, like, what one thing that was cool is, like, in one of those animated movies, you can find a whole documentary about Bob Kane.
Yes.
It talks about Stan Lee and his relationship. It talks about him growing up. There's a rumor that he had a relationship with Marilyn Monroe. Like, there's all these things that came out. Because he was a very, like, punctual guy. Like Stan Lee would say they'd be at a dinner, and a guy might recognize Stan Lee, and he'd be like, oh, hi, nice to see you. But then Bob Kane would be like, hey, do you know who I am? I'm the creator of Batman. And he'd, like, on a contact napkin, like, draw the face, like, draw Batman, and be like, hey, buddy, like, thanks for stopping by. Like, and he'd do it all. Like, he was not shy at all. Like, he loved the idea. And they said it was funny because a lot of people, like, looked at him, and they said, if you looked at Bob Kane, he looked like the Penguin. The way he would dress and stuff, you know, it was always funny about that. And then what's really cool is if you look at their influences, I think it's just something up with Wikipedia today.
Okay.
There's a couple of, yeah, I'm getting like an error. I just got an XML error from them. So who knows? Maybe they're updating or maybe they got shut down due to privacy over the web. Ooh! You know how like that whole thing's going down about the stupid privacy on your websites now.
Oh.
Let's pull it up like this, though. But yeah, so Bob Kane is the original inventor. I guess he had done cartooning for a while, did it for a lot of newspapers, and he actually was doing stuff like Sherlock Holmes. He actually did one for a Three Musketeer comic. And then, of course, around the time, Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster, who invented Superman, came out with Superman, did so well. Like, it blew up like crazy. Like, people were just so enthralled with it and liking the whole idea. And it was actually really interesting because Jerry Shuster and Joe Siegel had a very traumatic thing happen where one of their fathers actually was killed by a robbery.
Oh, really?
Some guy robbed him and killed him, and so he grew up without a father. And in turn, they invented kind of like the Superman character, you know, as like the father of everybody. Like, oh, he's powerful, he's strong, he's invincible, he'll never, bullets bounce off him. Like, it's like this childhood dream that they built this character. And then ironically, Bob Kane comes into the picture and he's building a character and he's born in tragedy. Like, it's kind of like, it's interesting.
Yeah.
You think like Bob Kane's parents were fine. Like, he grew up fine. He grew up in New Jersey, like nothing big deal. Like, so it's interesting how that connection of those two creators. And it sounded like they did very well. Like, they were both very collaborative, very fun. And like, that's why they love the idea of like putting those major characters together. Like, when Batman started out selling Superman, you know, it was about a way of connecting them back together by having the connection. And I think that's what it was, is Superman is fun. And a lot of the older writers talked about it, where it's hard to write for a guy who could blow out a star.
Yeah.
You know, like a star. Oh, it's coming to Earth. And he just like blows it out like a birthday candle. And when you have a guy like that, it's hard to relate to him. It's also hard to like really be like, oh, well, thanks, Superman. Like, you're always doing this. Whereas like Batman, because he had no powers and he was just very well-trained, he like grew up his whole life. I mean, like literally as a child, he made his sole purpose to be the best at whatever he was going to do, like crime fighting. So he like trained. Like, I mean, when you really think about it as a child, like you're like, oh, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to whatever. Like, you don't care. I want to be an astronaut. It's like you live underwater. That's not going to happen, Aquaman. But he's like, I want to be an astronaut. Like, at least with Batman's character, like, he knew from like the very moment that happened that was it. Like, it was time for him to realize like what he was going to become.
Yeah, because like the first Batman comic was called Detective Comics, and came out in 1939.
And didn't that have like the Asian looking guy on the cover?
Yeah, it had the two gangsters on the roof, and then it had Batman. But the funny part is you could kind of see the evolution of Batman, like he like for this kind of thing.
Yeah, because at first it was like almost like a Da Vinci kind of style of like the flying contraption looking, you know, that's what he used to jump off the building.
But the funny part is by the early, so literally Batman was out for pretty much a year, and then by the early 1940s, DC wanted to kitty up the book featuring the, you know, the Batman with Superman, because they thought Batman was, you know, ultimately too dark and depressing.
Yeah, exactly.
In the long run. So once again, they went to Kane, and this time he asked him to come up with like an antidote or to
something to kind of soften, you know, it up. Yeah,
a dangerous character that ironically that had previous asked him to create. Kane thought about it and recalled that it was this era he had enjoyed the a brash character Junior, who appeared in the Dick Tracy newspaper comic strip. So then, of course, Robin was born.
Yep.
So it's kind of interesting just think like, which is kind of funny because if you think about it, it's like they were gearing comic books towards kids.
Right.
So they had to do that. But now if you look at Batman, like Batman's even like more is a lot darker than ever now. I mean, you have people dying all of a sudden. You have all these kind of.
They really kept him in like a pit of like the downward spiral. Like they never really like gave him the softy like, yeah, everything's great. Your life's wonderful. I think one of my favorite books to read is Public Enemies with Superman and Batman because it's great because it opens up with like literally it's like panel. And it's like, you know, I came to this earth and it shows like literally from a baby's perspective of him like crashing through like wheat fields. And you see, like, all the weed, and he's, like, talking about, like, oh, I came to this world, and I had no idea what it was. And then it shows, like, Bruce's hands with his parents. And he's like, oh, I remember the alley being very cold that night. And it goes back and forth and back and forth. And it shows how, like, Batman, like, or Superman, when he, like, finally the thing opens and he sees Martha and John Kent. Like, it's like, oh, and this is my life.
Yeah, everything's embracing.
And then
yeah.
It shows Batman and it's like him kneeling and he sees his parents dead in front of him. And he goes, and that's when my childhood ended. And
yeah.
It's like, you know, they keep bringing that in. But it's true, though. Like, and then what I really liked about that whole saga was like they were jumping through time and stuff trying to get back and, like, they're doing things. And there was a point where they're sitting there and, like, Batman or Superman sees his parents for the last time and he sees that the Rock has come and he's like he's almost like oh I could take them with me I could save my parents I could do this and then he realizes like no they're meant to die it's like,
yeah
it's meant to happen because I can't change it and then what's cool is then Batman sees his parents like there and he knows what's about to happen he goes Bruce you know what you have to do and he's like you're right and he like shoves Superman and he jumps on the guy
oh yeah
and with that like the time gets all distorted and changes and then what's cool is so Superman finally like finds him again. And it's like almost like they've made it a commercial thing where like the Batman. Oh, remember that guy dressed as a bat who like, you know, stopped that guy that night. And so like then it shows like how Bruce has grown up, very privileged. You know, they're almost having like a Batman party because it was like kind of like,
yeah, you know, it shows how different his life.
Yeah,
was.
How different his life would have been. So then what was cool is like. Then, like, they go back to that point, and Batman allows it to happen, but, like, it rejuvenated his resolve. Like, it gave him even more, like, now he had all these memories of, like, what his life could have been with his parents. And because now that was gone, that he was like, okay, now I'm going to fight even harder.
Like, I don't know if Marvel's ever done anything that with their universe, but that was the biggest thing I really liked about the DC universe is every single character, either something happened to them, you know, tragedy-wise or something like that. But
it was either, like, they were born in tragedy with, like, the Flash, like, ah, an accident.
Well,
like, oh,
well, it wasn't even that. Like, the Flash, his backstory, I don't know if you know, is, like, he was a normal kid and everything like that. He comes home on his birthday, and there was a break-in into his house, single mother, and she gets murdered.
Like, yeah.
And then that was the whole thing with, like,
with
Professor, you know,
yeah,
Professor
Flashpoint, yeah.
Yeah, Flashpoint with Professor Zoom going, like, oh, you can't save everybody. And he, like, kind of, you know, jabs at him going, like, you can't even save your mother.
Mom, yeah.
But then it's like, no, I can go back. And then sure enough, as he goes back, changes the entire timeline, never becomes the Flash. Bruce is the one that ends up
dying. Yeah.
Superman doesn't fall into Kansas. He falls, or Smallville. He falls into, like, you know,
military area.
So it's like all these different. And then it's like, what was it? Wonder Woman and Aquaman are at war.
Yeah, it was like the Atlanteans and the Amazonians were at war.
So I think I kind of like that because it's like you kind of see it's like
sometimes it's meant to be.
Everything has to happen for a reason. You can't change it. But my favorite part is just how you see Bruce's dad going like, if there's a chance that there's a different world out there where my son lives, and he knows like you go back and fix
and
everything.
I'm gone. Yeah,
but he's like, but if there's a chance that my son lives.
That's what it was, and it was
just all like, oh, you know. So as much as it's like,
and that's why I think what's funny is like you forget, like you would think like people make fun of it all the time, like, oh, your parents are dead, haha. Like, you know, it seems like trivial that your parents died when you were a child, that you would like hold this like rage in you for your entire life. Like eventually, some point you would have to deal and move on and mourn and things like that. And then like when they did that aspect where like Bruce was the one to die, like you could see like how much like it wasn't even so much of like mourning. It was just like they had such a close bond as a family. And that's what people forget. Like, their family was,
well, that's
like,
the thing.
Like,
and everyone kind of forgets Batman. They think, oh, he's just doing it to, you know, he wants revenge.
Yeah.
But really, his whole thing behind it, he's like, I never want any child to have to go through this ever again.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's basically his motto. And then the sad part is, tragedy happens to Dick Grayson.
Yeah, it happens all the time.
Like,
that's
Robin,
the whole point.
Then that was the cool part with Robin is he was able to get him.
Catch the guy, yeah.
Well, not even catch the guy, but he was able to get Robin and actually, you know, be able to mentor him, show him. And that's why, if you notice in the Batman comics, Robin now being Nightwing, Nightwing is completely different from Batman.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They, you know, like
even though they're trained the same and everything like that, but their entitled everything is, like, completely, you know, things like that. And that was, like, one of the things with Robin, like he always said, he's like, I like Batman, but I don't want to become Batman.
Yeah, I don't want to be Batman.
I don't want to be Batman. And it was just kind of like all these, like, you know, it's just kind of cool to see, like,
that's why I liked about the Jason Todd saga, because Jason Todd was like, Batman was his mentor, like Batman was everything to him. And then when Batman like didn't kill the Joker, when he comes back, he's like, why is he not alive?
Yeah, why is he alive?
And then it was crazy, because then it even went further, because in the Teen Titans, what they would do is when someone would die, they'd have a little monument or something, like a memorial, like a little statue built.
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing was built for Jason Todd, so then it was even like this whole, like, why is...
No, there was, actually.
Oh, really?
If you notice, when it comes back from Young Justice in the second season, you see...
Oh, that was right,
You see, they're downstairs, they're going like, why aren't these up in the Justice League office? They're like, well, we don't want to let people know our tragedies, or our failures, basically. But you see Tim actually looking at another Robin, and you're just like, well, it's not Dick. And then you realize,
it's Jason Todd.
So he did get Jason, and it's like that. So it's like all these kind of things. And it's actually kind of cool. What I liked about Young Justice is, like, it's not so much that Batman was training Tim, it was more Nightwing was training him.
Yeah, in Young Justice, that's what I liked about it. But what I also liked about it too was that whole thing about that, I mean, the whole thing about being a father, like that whole thing with Superman and him. But my favorite thing is, like, there was a tale where Tim Drake actually was a better Robin than Jason Todd.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so then, like, you had that thing. So there was a comic I was just reading about where Jason Todd, like, broke into Teen Titans, like, took everybody out as the Red Hood.
Mm-hmm.
Like, didn't kill them, but just, like, knocked them unconscious or, like, tied them up or whatever. Like, just totally, like, owned everybody, like, cyborg everybody.
Yeah.
And so then him and Tim Drake are going at it, and, like, he ends up, like, almost knocking Tim Drake out. And then he was like, Batman told me you were a better Robin. He goes, and then Tim Drake was just like, spits on him and is like, I am, and then like passed out.
Mm-hmm.
So he ended up like ripping the Robin like thing off his chest, but he left him alive. And he even eventually, like, later on said, yeah, he was a better Robin. Like, I could see in his eyes that he had no fear. Like, he was willing to die for his friends. Like, and he realized, like, I wouldn't have done that. I would have left you for dead,
because
he had changed so much with, like, you know.
Oh, yeah, with everything that's happened with him.
Yeah,
you know?
So I think it's cool, like, how... And that's why I liked the new 52 when they were rebooting everything, like with Court of Owls, when they were doing the party.
Yes.
And like Bruce is getting ready, but he has like Tim there, he has Drake there, Tim Drake has got Jason Todd there, he's got Dick Grayson,
mm-hmm.
he's got Damian there.
Yeah.
And he has, like, I guess he was using his new technology with the computer chip in his eye to kind of recognize. And like they made the joke, like, well, yeah, he has to use it to remember our faces because we have so many people now that he's training. But I love that aspect of it because it's like, it's true. Like, even that whole thing with the Joker saga where he's like, you know, like when Dick's like, you know, we got to get this guy, we got to, and he's like, shut up. He's like, he goes, Alfred was my father. Like, he raised me. And like, he's like, you know, this is not the time for this because we just got to find the guy. Like, you don't think I want to go out there and like tear everyone apart?
Yeah, actually, what I really liked about that, this is the new 52. This is volume 3. This is the saga called Death in the Family. And what I really liked about it, it really kind of showed like what I kind of like the Joker's take on everything, where he was kind of more like, he's like, I'm just trying to do you a favor. He's like, these guys will die, you know, by your hand.
Yeah.
And
because
of
your lack of action.
Your lack of action. He's like, I'm just trying to help you out. I'm trying to get rid of, because face it, the only people who matter in your life is the villains.
Yeah.
He's like, you will always go out of your way to save us. You will go out of your way to stop us. You will do everything in your power
to try and save us.
To try to save us. But your little, like, friends and everything that, you could care less about it. So he's like, that's why I set this up. We could have gotten rid of all of them, and then it could have just been you and me again, you know, kind of thing. And it's just like how you see how the Joker, like, thinks.
Yeah.
And it's like, he's kind of true, though, because it's like, think about it. He kills Jason
Todd. Yeah, to try and same thing, like, get him to understand, like,
get him
without
to understand,
him, now it's you and me again.
And he, what does Batman do? Beats him up, throws him in Arkham, doesn't kill him, doesn't do anything like that. So it's just kind of cool to see, like, as much as everyone thinks that the Joker, you know, he's crazy and nuts, he kind of has a point.
And I think, like, that's such a beautiful design, too, with the Joker, because it's like, yeah, clowns are supposed to be funny. It's supposed to be for kids. But then, like, this clown is definitely, like... But then there's also that fear. Like, people have a fear of clowns. And then, like, that's the whole point. Now, is, like, he's... Because, I mean, like, that's what's so funny. As I heard Snyder talking about it that one time, where he's like, think about it. Like, Court of Owls. Owls and bats. Like, they are actually known
predators.
And that made sense. Like, oh, yeah, that's cool. Like, a predator thing. But, like, really, there's never been a bat and a clown. Like, there's never, like, you know, you never see clowns outside in the woods, like, jumping on bats and stuff. Like, it's just like, honk, honk, like, oh, no, the elusive, you know, horned clown is out this time of night.
Those damn clowns.
You know,
get back to your circus.
So when you really think about, like, that aspect of it, too, like, there's correlation.
There's no correlation to any of that, you know.
But they built it, like, now
they built
is,
it like that. But that's what I also like, too, if you think about it, because we'll probably go on a huge tangent about the Batman animated series, especially with the cast that they picked
alone,
for that.
Yeah.
But the original voice of the Joker was going to be Tim Curry.
Oh.
Tim Curry, if no one knows who that is, you should. He was in Clue. He played the butler. He's been in he does a lot of voice acting.
Yeah,
anyways.
I mean, that would have been a
The original voice.
God,
yeah.
That would have been a great.
And it was funny because all Mark Hamill wanted to do, he's like, I just want to work on Batman. I don't care who I am. And he actually has
was so good because he's in it as the guy
he's
Mr. Freeze.
In the Mr. Freeze side. Yeah. He's got one little part in it, and then all of a sudden they called him back going like, oh, something happened. We're going to need you to play this. And he comes in and he's like, who am I playing? And all of a sudden all that's on a sheet is Joker. So he's like, oh, okay. And I think he heard a little bit of Tim Curry, but they're like, we don't want to go in that direction.
Yeah, like
so
Tim Curry, I could imagine, was very like, I can only imagine.
I can only imagine.
Can
we just do like
can
an
we just start dubbing some Clue like tracks in there just to see what it would sound like? Like, literally.
No, you start taking clips. We should do this. We should start taking clips from the Wild Thornberrys because he was the father of that.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
Just push that over and be like, no, yeah.
That'd be so great. He's like, I'm going to put you away, you know, Joker. And he's just like, you know, make sure to pick up your cereal bowls and watch them.
It's like, what? But yeah, you can only imagine, like, oh, geez, how good would that been, you know?
Oh my goodness.
They had a lot of good voice acting. Like, especially the guy who played Mr. Freeze did a fantastic job.
I mean, alone, the what's crazy is, like, the Kevin Conroy's version of Batman. Like, that's what's so crazy about it.
Oh, yes.
Like, he was, from the get-go, you were the voice. Like, that was the voice of Batman. He's done it in, like, I mean, like, you think of anything, you think of that voice. Because it's such a, like,
oh, yeah, that's,
he's got such a great Bruce Wayne, you know, where it's just very
well, what I like about his thing is he, basically, the voice is Batman.
Yeah.
And the only time he changes his voice
is when it has to be Bruce Wayne.
Because that, to him.
And Bruce Wayne is more of a more, like, casual, like, oh, hey.
But what I liked about his thing behind it, he was like, Bruce Wayne is the mask.
Yeah,
like Batman.
Yeah, Bruce Wayne is
like
the mask.
He is Batman, but Bruce Wayne is the,
like and that's
the identity.
What's funny is because people say that about Superman. Superman is Superman,
and Clark Kent is the mask.
So
that's
kind of neat.
Yeah.
Another tie-in with each other, and it's true. Like that's why I like that. Yes, most people hate the movie though, but with Katie Holmes being like, you know, this is your mask. Like the Bruce Wayne is the mask. Like, this is what you portray to the world to let people think. Like,
well, no one hated Batman Begins.
I just think they hated Katie Holmes.
It's so, you know what's so dumb about this? Everyone hated Katie Holmes.
But see, I would have loved to keep her in the second one had I known that they were going to blow her
up. But this is the thing, though. Everyone hated Katie Holmes, but then they bring in Maggie something. But yeah, she was a better actress, but everyone's like, I can't like her face. It's like, okay, what do you want, people?
Yeah.
It's like, you can't take one of the other.
We should have done Kevin Conroy as Rachel.
What if we did that? What if we were able to take the entire Batman Begins, Dark Knight, and Dark Knight Rises and change some of the voices that we wanted to change? I would leave Heath Ledger's Joker to be it. Because it fits for that movie, but I'm like, what if we just got Kevin Conroy to
just
overdub
just over
the
just
entire
hear,
thing,
like,
and then when
Conroy
you get to,
version.
And then when you get to Bane, we get the guy who played Bane.
Yeah, exactly.
And,
just what if that? What would it sound like?
What would it sound like?
Like just making an option on the DVD. Well, that's what I love is like if you hear they did a thing. It was on I think it was Mark Hamill's birthday, and he was on a podcast or he was on a panel at a Comic Con, and someone asked him. He goes, "Hey, you know, I don't want to say anything because you know you does that." But he goes, "What was your take on Heath Ledger's Joker?"
Mm-hmm.
And kind of the crowd was like, "Ooh," you know, because obviously he's done the Joker, and he's like, "You know, I loved it." He's like, "I loved his performance. I thought he did such a good job." And he goes, "You know, not any disrespect or anything." He goes, "Could you say any like couple lines from the movie?"
Mm-hmm.
And then it was great because he's just sitting there for a minute, and then he just looks at the guy and he's like, "Why so serious?" And he does it in his version.
Yeah,
and I was like, "Oh my god!" Like. I could only imagine like what that would have sounded like. Like voice
as dumb as it sounds, like half of these movies that they are bringing to DVD and stuff like that. I mean, think about it. There was a Batman animated movie in theaters.
Yeah,
The Mask of the Phantasm.
There was a few because there was like The Mask of the Phantasm was the main one, and then I think the rest came straight to video.
Yeah, the rest
was like the Mr. Freeze.
Yeah,
saga,
they did
which was
Sub-Zero, which was amazing as well.
Yeah, they did a few of them. Yeah, because it was a and that was a great movie because that was the first time like he punches the Joker so hard that he made him bleed.
Yes.
Well, at least like he probably was making him bleed all the time, but like that was.
But
the first
this
time
is
a,
we well, this
see,
is the
like,
first time
whoa.
You get to see like that.
And then, like that whole story was cool, or he was like a gangster.
Yeah.
Like they went to more of like that route, like because what I like is in the saga that is the Joker. As far as we know, like he was just a normal guy, a loser,
mm-hmm.
who was failing at stuff, got bashed into this, and like that's why I love it. Is like in the New 52 where they're like, I don't know what it was. Like, was it upbringing? Was it a chemical compound in the makeup that changed him to this? Or was like, you know, or what? Like that's what the debacle.
But
is
what I
Batman.
Really like about this is in Batman's art. This is what I really like about what they're doing with that origin story, basically that was created by pretty much I would say Alan Moore because that's when it came about. Which like a little bit of the Joker's past was in the Killing Joke, but the Batman Arkham Origins. There's this thing where the Joker gets caught, gets sent off to Blackgate because Arkham isn't built yet. And he's sitting down. He's talking to Harley Quinn, the doctor and stuff like that. And he's having this story about like, you ever have those times when you meet, you know, the perfect person and everything like that. And what's funny with her is she thinks he's talking about her.
Right. She's like,
but
oh,
he's
like,
sitting there and he's like going off. And then you get to play as him as the Red Hood. And you get to go through this dream sequence of like how he saw Batman and everything like that. And it's just like how he you know, apparently he became who he was and stuff like that. So it was just so kind of funny. But just the guy's dialogue and how he's delivering everything is just like it was just such a cool like.
It's haunting, but it also was beautiful at the same time because like you see how Harley's like, yeah, like you could see he's like she's falling
well,
for him.
Yeah, she falls. But it's so funny. She falls for him. But you just figure like how much the Joker like literally because I love that part in the thing like literally him and Batman go out of a window.
Yeah.
And he goes to stab Batman and you hit like the button you knock it away
knock
and you
away.
Literally shoot your thing and you come down and you give him to the police and of course the police are after you because this is your
yeah,
you
like,
know,
hey.
You're a vigilante or whatnot and you take off and you leave him there and the officer's like I have no idea what the hell he saved
yeah
you.
Well your
he's
partner
like,
yeah
he's like, your partner saved you he's like he's not my partner he's like yeah if well if it was your partner I would have let you just die or
and
whatnot
you can see him in the car
and he's
like,
in the car and he sits there he goes he's like I don't know why the hell he saved you and he walks away and the Joker's like yeah I was wondering the same thing
and you can see like the wheels are turning then he's like wondering like why
like
why
and that's
it?
Why I kind of also that's why I always think like the Joker is such a good villain. I mean, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of good villains out there, but the Joker is such a good villain because he's the one that is trying like literally he wants Batman to kill him.
Yeah,
that's what he wants.
That's what he wants. He wants him to cross that line.
He wants him to do everything in his possible power.
Because ultimately, if Batman, if he pushes him far enough that he does that, he's no longer Batman. Like he kills Batman.
Yes,
because you've crossed that barrier of like you've killed. Well, like, that's why I liked in the Dark Knight Returns, where like literally the Joker kills himself, but it was like with Batman's like arm or whatever.
Yeah.
He breaks his own neck, but it was a way for him to be like, haha, like,
yeah,
you know,
like
I
win
got
or
you.
Whatnot.
Yeah, because that's what he said. I think that was his last words. He's like, I win, and then like he breaks.
Yeah,
his
he
own
breaks
neck.
His own neck,
and you're just like Jesus. You're like that's Jesus. How. But then it was true though. Like you said, like it's like that whole dynamic of like. That's what I loved about it too. Like someone brought it up about like, well, if Batman goes away, all of his villains go away. You know, if Batman wasn't here, none of these villains would be here. So then it's like it brings up a good point, like, well, really?
Well, that
like,
is true. I mean, Batman goes to retirement, all the villains, but then you see what happened. A new kind of a new kind of threat
came
takes
through,
over
yeah.
or whatnot. But it's still kind of like that, you know, dynamic. It's like as soon as Batman goes away, it's like, yeah, villains lose their purpose. But if you think about most of the villains, like really, but that's what I like about Batman because a lot of the villains really do affect like his lifestyle. Like him and Harvey Dent were best friends. And then Harvey Dent gets hit with acid and becomes Two-Face, and it's like Batman's always trying to reason with him. You know, he's always trying to tell him there is a way to, you know, go back. There is a, you know, you can become, you know, yourself again or everything like that. What I like about Enigma, you know, the Riddler, is he wants to be the smartest man alive, but the only person who can keep outsmarting him is Batman. So that's his whole goal, going like, I got to outsmart this guy. What I like about the Penguin, though, Penguin really isn't like too much of a threat. He's more.
And
of
I like the different versions that they've gone through.
The Penguin's more of a threat to actually Bruce Wayne because him and the Waynes and the Cobblepots have a long brooding history and everything like that. But what I like about you know Penguin, especially when they redid. The Batman animated series when they updated a little bit of the artwork and things changed. I know a lot of people didn't like the black Joker eyes.
I didn't mind it too much.
But the Penguin, they made him like they kind of brought him back to the 1966.
Exactly.
And he owned his own club. But then he's owned his own club, you know, and everything like that. He was an entrepreneur again. But then you see on the side he has arms dealing and stuff like that. And I'm like, that's to me, that's what the Penguin was. The Penguin was always a character. He was very, sure, he had like the long nose and he was short and he was a little heavy, and that's where he got his name, the Penguin.
Yeah,
but
like the
he
joke,
was
yeah.
he was a very, he was a gentleman. He was smart. He was intelligent, and he knew what he was doing and stuff like that. And he was still, but that made him a threat to his thugs because he would always.
And
hire...
I like it because, like, in Arkham Origins, they really brought him in, and you saw that he was still very sly, but he was still kind of very, you know.
Yeah, like
he was a crooked man. Like he was very like kind of stubborn.
And I like that.
And I like all the different versions of him because, like you said, in the cartoon show, or even in the old 1960s Batman, like he was more of like he was always like doing something. Like it was an arms deal or stealing or theft or robbery. It's always a robbery or something.
Yeah.
And so then it was like, you know, stopped him, and like he had all his little tricks with like his, you know,
his umbrellas
and stuff. It was like he had gadgets too. Like that was also a tie-in with him and like, you know, the Batman. And then what was interesting is always like. In the cartoon, like I think they did him where he was very grotesque, like that
they,
whole opera
yeah,
because
like the yeah they did the
he
first
was reformed and,
yeah they did the first Batman run. It was literally right after the Batman Returns movie,
right?
So they had a lot of the characters, and then yeah, that's how they kind of designed their Penguin. But when they did the revamp, like Catwoman was all black. She in the first one she had like the black and the gray,
and then she also had blonde hair. Like that was the thing too. Is like all throughout most of her run, like she was usually portrayed by somebody who was brunette.
Yeah, she was either. I thought she was black hair. Like she had.
And she
dark
also
hair.
Was African American. Like in one version, she was a black.
That's true.
Black
yeah.
cat as well. Like she was also that. And then I think like it wasn't until Michelle Pfeiffer came that they did blonde, and then of course like it tied into the animated series. But then what's crazy is like now everyone knows her as the black hair, either short hair or just dark hair.
Yes,
because it makes more sense, I guess, because like the whole black. Like,
and
that,
also
that
in the new 52, she's no longer a hooker. So
well, that's always good. Yeah, because that was always weird too. Like
yeah, well, that was Frank Miller's take when he did year one.
Yeah,
like he made her a hooker and whatnot,
and she was heavy too, right? Later on, didn't she like in the Batman Returns, like she's like overweight or something?
Yeah, she gets a little heavier. Or whatever, but then you just see how time, you know.
Yeah, yeah, well, obviously, yeah, like you see, like what would have happened without a Batman? Like she would have had it gone into. Other
yeah,
things.
But I will say those Catwoman comic books, the new reboots, are really fun to read because it's like as much as you think like, oh, they're gonna pull their punches, they're not gonna she fights, holds her own, and kicks some ass, but sometimes she gets beat up and she's like bleeding.
What I love is seeing her in like the Long Halloween.
Oh yeah,
like she fights side by side with them, and you see how she can.
Oh, and Hush
alone is like where
Hush
you see,
to me
like,
is like
Jesus.
Okay, guys, for Valentine's Day, if you're a comic book nerd, these are the two books you should actually definitely get your significant other.
Yeah,
is Mad Love.
Yeah, oh yeah,
Mad which
Love.
Is great because it's not only written by Paul Dini, it's also the same artist of the Batman animated series. His name escapes right now, and he's probably gonna hit me and be like, "I hate your face."
I'm on Twitter. I hate you.
And then, Hush.
Yeah.
Because that's done by Jim Lee's artwork, and it's just phenomenal, just like how he does everything. But it's really kind of sad because as much as they're trying to bring like Batman into the real world, you know, that's how the Christopher Nolan books were, and that's why we didn't get certain characters. Like to be honest, I would love to see a Clayface in a movie.
Was it Bruce Timm?
Yes,
Lauren
Bruce
Lester?
Timm. Bruce okay. Timm. I would love to see, you know, Clayface.
Yeah,
in a movie, I would love to see Mr. Freeze done right in a movie.
Well,
you know?
That's what I like is like with the. Zack Snyder, we're going to see more fantasy. You know, obviously two giant men who fly and shoot lasers out of their eyes doesn't exist in this world, thank God.
Yeah.
But, like, we can, like, go, oh, cool. So, like, you can finally now push that boundary of, like, you know, yeah, you could see a Clayface in this realm, a Solomon Grundy, things like that. You can see these characters in this realm, whereas the Chris Nolan was more doing it like, if this was real life. You know, if this really would happen, like, would the guy have, like, fallen in an acid pit? Right now, he probably would have died of chemical poisoning.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, and a guy who's just crazy enough to paint his
face. Yeah, to mutilate his face.
Guy who's just got pain in his mouth, so he wears a contraption to keep the pain at bay. Like, yeah, you could see that physically happening. Because, like, I mean, that's the best part about Bane was, like, really wasn't anything to him. He didn't get massive size, but he was built, and he had just had focus, and, like, that was the whole point. Is like, I was born in the dark, too. Like, you know, you
think
don't
you're
learn,
dark
I mean.
As your friends. You merely just adapted it.
I was born in it. Yeah.
I do feel, though, this was my take, if they would have had the Riddler in Batman, The Dark Knight Rises, my whole theory would have been because Batman's a vigilante now. He had to tell the city of Gotham to hunt him now, all this kind of stuff. Instead of Batman kind of retiring and whatnot, I think the coolest part would have been Riddler showing up because actually Tavis Maiden told me there's actually was a run of Riddler comics where Riddler actually stopped crime and became a detective.
Yeah, so then
because
it
was
sense
so smart,
was
and then that would be a good way because
setting
then
up puzzles and stuff for
Batman
to
find and everything like that. But then you find out he really just wanted to kill Batman. I mean, I don't know who they would have casted or whatnot. Maybe Eddie Murphy.
You never know.
I
mean, like, yeah, that was a rumor. Then Johnny Depp was rumored.
Yeah, Johnny Depp was
rumored. And then when they casted Jason Gordon-Levitt, I kind of was like, he would make he would make a good Riddler. He would have done a really good job because he kind of has that, you know, persona. And then when they did the whole like 8 years later and gave him the hobo beard and everything.
So is that like, what? So think
about it. Like Superman, hobo beard. Batman, hobo beard. Like, we're going to have to see The Flash in a hobo beard. And Wonder Woman in a hobo beard. That's how they're just going to have to do it to tell the story.
This is the problem, though, because you're going to have Aquaman. He'll already have his beard, and he'll have to hipster it.
He'll have to shave it off. I had a beard before it was cool.
Yeah, I had a beard before it was cool.
That's what they'll have to do.
The fish is like, why are you talking to me? I have no friends.
I'm alone in this world.
But, yeah, there's all this kind of... Now, what I'm curious about... I know we're just jumping off topic here with everything.
That's the beauty of Batman.
But I'm curious about with the new movie coming up, and I know like their plans are, it's like Batman's gonna be in it. Batman's not gonna get another movie of his own yet until like they start trying to build up the DC universe. But do you think they're ever going to try to do with the new Batman, aka Batfleck, which everyone's talking about,
or whatever?
Are they going to think they're ever going to introduce a Robin into this one?
I don't know, because he is older, so they could do like the dark, they could do Nightwing, they could do like all these different things, because like it's like, well, I mean, if they're doing where he's older, like, you know, is he already established?
See, that's the thing, because that's what they're talking about a lot. They're saying, like, okay, Superman just came out, basically.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, I'm here.
Yeah, he just showed up.
But according to them, with Batman being older, he's been at this for a little bit and stuff like that. So literally, I think it was Kevin Smith even said, it's like, you could literally do, like, Batman running on a rooftop chasing after, like, one of his villains or whatnot. And everyone knows, okay, Batman's established. Everyone knows Batman. It's like, why do we have to keep establishing these origin stories for everything, you know? It's like, that's the same thing with the Spider-Man movie. It's like, the next Spider-Man's going to come out. He has all these villains that are going to be in it. But now I'm like, okay, these are three villains that you're now going to have to establish their origin story.
Right. And like, I know like people are saying that, okay, we obviously know we're going to have Luthor. Wonder Woman's now going to be in it. You have Batman in it, Superman.
Dwayne Rock Johnson was casted to be in the new Superman Batman movie, and everyone right off the bat is like, he's going to be the next Green Lantern. I'm all like, there's so many other people he could be.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you know who I'm trying to think about.
Know who he should be? I'm Black Vault.
Yeah, he could be. I was trying to think, like, he could either be like Cyborg.
Oh, because
he would play a good Cyborg.
I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, he could be Cyborg. Like, that would be so good.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That did not even, like, yeah, everybody else on Facebook was like, all like, he's going to be the next Green Lantern. I was all like.
Which he could be. I mean, he could do that. But to me, like, he strikes me as a cyborg.
No.
Because Cyborg was an athlete. He got injured. His father saved him. He had all the technology. Like, he has that more of a mindset. And because he's a smart guy. Like, he has
Oh, God. I didn't fucking think of that. That's such
I still
a good
think
idea.
Eldred Idris as, like, Martian Manhunter would be phenomenal.
I'm trying to think.
Have you ever seen him? He's on the show called Luthor.
Yes, yes.
He's also been in that. He was in the Mandela movie. Like, that was his recent thing. And then, of course, if you haven't seen it, which I don't understand why not, Pacific Rim, he was the general.
Yeah, he would be an awesome Martian Manhunter.
Yeah, he's like, you know.
But who would play? See, everyone's always going to Hal Jordan for Green Lantern. Yeah. I'm like, why don't we go with John Smith?
I think it was John Smith or John Stewart almost.
Oh, John Stewart, that was it.
Yeah. It was spelled J-O-N-N or something.
Yeah. But I'm like, why don't we just get like a Black Lantern in there? I mean,
they're showing him as Jon Stewart, which I'm like, yeah, in the old one, remember he was like the bald guy with the goatee? Like, yeah, he could do it. I mean, yeah, he could do it. But still, people are talking about the other guy, the guy who played Conan the Barbarian.
Uh-huh.
He's also been casted in a new Man of Steel, and everyone's like, well, he's going to be. But when you look at his face, it says Lobo all over it. Like,
really?
Like, when you look at him, he looks like Lobo.
Oh, that'd be cool.
And I think to me, like, that's, but they're not, again, they're not saying what he's going to be.
Yeah,
he
they could always
just be
do
like,
that. But then again,
he could be the assistant to the Daily Planet. Like, who knows what they're going to do with
But
it,
you know what they're going to do? Dwayne will
be the copy guy. He'll be just like, hi, guys. Like,
No, he's the new, what was, was it Ricky Olsen? Or,
yeah, like, instead of Jimmy Olsen, because they had Olsen. Jane Olsen.
That was,
this is my brother Jimmy, and he'd be like, hi, guys! rips his shirt.
He's like huge with like, they don't even give him like an actual fitting shirt. You just see like the buttons barely holding on for
Superman.
Your life. Oh my God, that'd be great.
I want to be your best friend.
Yeah.
Wait for me. And then it's funny because then you have Jane, Henry Cavill standing next to him being like, you're kind of big there, man.
Yeah.
I don't know about this.
I ate my vegetables.
I eat all my fruits and vegetables. We're best friends.
But yeah, we're not going to get to see that movie until 2016.
Yeah, we got to push it back now, which I'm like, hey, whatever. Take all the time you want because everyone.
Well, put it this way, okay.
They teased the crap out of Man of Steel, and I thought it was a great movie. everyone shit. A lot of people shitting on it, but then it's like they're gonna shit on this movie too, no matter what you do.
I don't care. I even said the same thing. They could have even casted Christian Bale. Could be like, I'm gonna come back and play Batman, and everybody would still be pissed.
Yeah. Oh, great. You're,
because you know why? Everyone's going like, oh, he's gonna keep doing that voice and all that stupid stuff. So it's like, at this point of the game, no one's gonna win. I mean, heck, no one's really happy with what's his name, the guy they picked for Ant-Man.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's like, at this point, I don't think anyone's gonna be happy with anything. At this point, you could literally cast like, what's his face? Bill Cosby for something. And everyone's like, what? No, he can't be in that.
Yeah, it's interesting because people are like, yeah, Dwayne The Rock Johnson up for Green Lantern, which is like, man, I could see him as John. But like to me, like either Eldra Idris as Green Lantern, if they're going to go green, go black. Like, yeah. Go blacker than a mother. Like, don't just make it like, hey, he's kind of black. And, you know, we can paint him black. You know, yeah. Like, you know, Lewis Black. Like, they put him in there. You know, I'm the Green Lantern.
In darkest day.
In darkest day.
Brightest night. No! Freaking evil shall escape my sight.
What are you doing? Yeah, that's pretty good, though. Like, I mean, seriously, like, I'm Gilbert Gottfried, and I'm the OA.
I'm Gilbert Gottfried, and I'm Martian Manhunter. Oh, my goodness. Superman! I already said he needs to play Mixoplex.
Yeah, that's how they got to bring him. That'd be pretty sweet.
But yeah, there's so many stuff. But yeah, I mean, I don't know how big the movie's going to be, but I think it's a smart move because they're pushing it back to 2016. And because, I mean, look, 2014, we got the X-Men movie. We got the new Captain America movie. We have, what's it called? Spider-Man. And then next year we're going to get, and then at the end of the summer we got Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's true.
And then the next year we got the next Avengers movie. So it's like, they might just be waiting for their thing going like, well, we want to get as much money as possible. Let's see what small movie, you know, franchise they're going to have until then.
That looks pretty cool. Some fan made a fan-made poster, mm-hmm. and they had, I don't know who this actor is. I think it's Joaquin Phoenix. They took him and like made him bald and stuff. But what they did is they put all these things in him. He looks like Brainiac, and it looks really cool. Ooh. Like, and I was like, oh man, like they have so many things that they could go with. I mean, you got
such a
good array.
See, that's actually what I really liked about the Man of Steel movie. They did have all that technology. What Brainiac, you know?
It was there. Like, what I really liked was like when you saw that part where that World Destroyer was blowing up the thing and had those tentacles come out.
Yeah.
Because to me, I was like, that's Brainiac technology. Yeah. Like 101.
So, I mean, it's just ridiculous. Wow, we really got off of our Batman topic.
Back to Batman. But see, it's all dealing with Batman because, like, Batman's in a movie now. And, like, how is that going to play into the world of Man of Steel? And, like, are they going to get into kryptonite and kryptonite gloves and, like, punt the ring? Are they going to get into that whole thing? Like, here's a ring or here's some brass knuckles I made you. You know, like, are they going to get into that? Like, I mean, there's so much talk about it because I was like, what version of Batman? Like, is it going to be blue and, you know, gray?
Oh, yeah, they've been talking about that. They don't know if he's going to be all black. They don't know if it's going to go to the black and the gray like it has been.
There's even one where he has, like, a face mask. I mean, they can do all kinds of things. Armor, right, like... I mean, if you're going after the Man of Steel, too, I mean, you really have to think about, like, how are they going to portray it? You know, like, are they going to do, like, Frank Miller's with him being, like, you know, giant
in
metal?
In that suit,
Because, I mean, that was a pretty powerful thing, so...
So, I mean, there's so much. Yeah, I mean, we like that's the thing. As much as everyone wants to bitch and complain about what's going to happen, stuff like that. Now, I don't know. I mean, as much as I did like enjoying reading the Flash comic, I don't know how I feel about. I would like to see Flash more as a TV show, but I don't know why they need to do a feature and a TV show.
You see, I think where they were smart, if they
because
were really
you,
smart.
You know, you have to have two actors for that.
See, if they were really smart, what they would start doing now on the Marvel one, mm-hmm. the Shield, have the Falcon on. Like, put him on there. Show him what he can do. Show people what he's capable of. Start building his rapport. Mm-hmm. So when they see him in the movie, it won't be so like, oh, who's that? Oh, I need the backstory.
Yeah.
Like, you could start doing things like that. Like, you could start telling the story about those things. You could start telling the stories of, like, the Guardians of the Galaxy or things like that. You could start doing stuff like that.
That's what I don't
get. And
that's
like with Arrow, you could do the same thing. Like, start introducing characters.
Well, they started doing that. Like, they started introducing Black Canary. They started introducing, like, all these different
things. Because when they did it with Smallville, they did a very quick, like, Justice League thing where they had an episode where there was a guy who could swim in water. Mm-hmm. And somehow he came to, like, Smallville to stop, like, the pollution in this lake or pollution that was then bleeding
into the
ocean.
Yeah, then they had the Hawkman.
They had, they did an episode where they had Arrow. They had a whole bunch of him. Like, that was when they first kind of saw that he was popular because mm-hmm. he was a good-looking guy and stuff. They started doing that. Then they did have a short story with a character who could run really fast, but they made him more where he was a thief. Like, that's what the whole thing was. Like, he was running really fast and stealing from people, and obviously Superman could see him because he was like, oh, yeah, I can follow your movements because you're, you know, my
It's funny to me
too.
Because I think as much
They had
as...
Cyborg. That was actually, unfortunately, the guy who passed away, that young kid who passed away from a drug overdose a while ago. he was on the show and he was kind of like the cyborg.
Oh, the cyborg. Okay.
And like a lot of people are like, oh, he's a really good actor. He's really good. He'd be really good for it. Like literally, like the model of cyborg that is on like all the cartoon shows was based almost on him.
Oh, okay.
He didn't have like the metal face and stuff. He was more like just normal looking. But like that was a part where like he got hit by a car, then you could see like the metal underneath kind
of
thing.
See, that's the funny part with like the Man of Steel movie. As much as everyone throwing Batman in them, I'm like, I understand you want to start putting more superheroes in the movie, but obviously a great way to start off the Man of Steel 2 movie would literally to be a great way to introduce the Flash and him and Superman have that race around the world.
Yeah,
because
like,
there
hey,
was that storyline that was
Labs.
In that Superman.
And that's why I love that animated series, because they touch base on so many characters. Like, same thing. In Batman animated series, they were bleeding in with characters that we were like, we knew of the Puppet Master, we knew of like Clayface, but they really like pushed the Batman. Like,
really
no one knew him as a monstrosity.
Yeah.
Like, they always thought of him as like the guy who could just change his appearance. Like, that's how he was able to do all these crimes. But like the fact that he became just like this giant mass of like, you know. Just,
yeah, my
like,
favorite one actually was the one where Clayface returns. It was in the updated version when it was Tim Drake as Robin, and Tim Drake finds this girl and she's all like, I need help and stuff like that.
Oh, and it turns out it was...
And then you find out it's a piece of Clayface that comes back and is like, okay, we're slowly building, like, as he tries to. So she was stealing chemicals. Like, he would send a little piece of him out there as disguised as this little girl and would come back to slowly build him back up and everything like that. So, I mean, it's just kind of cool to think about, like, all these
And then remember
things.
There was that whole Batman saga where, like, the town of Gotham was being replaced by the androids. I don't know if you remember that storyline.
No,
it was like
know.
It was like one of their first two-parter episodes. There was that giant computer that was built in this warehouse somewhere and had like a red eye, and like then also Batman was like almost hooking up with like the reporter lady, but she turned out to be like the android, like her face ripped off, and it was like also the same thing, like oh my god. But then like you know, same thing with like Metallo and all these other characters. Like that was a good storyline too, of that kind of like same like caliber of like. You can start introducing elements that are just like, oh my goodness, like you could do anything. Like,
that's
like
what
I said,
get. It's like
race around the world. You could do it where literally he's they had the whole there was that whole storyline with the small town, you know, like a town shrinks, maybe even started with Brainiac or something.
I really wish that DC would have taken a page out of Marvel's book with at the end of the credits they could start the ball rolling with stuff. They could start putting things at the end and you go, oh, okay, and stuff like that. I mean, they did that. The only
I think
that,
what I would have loved to have seen, like, had they already known that they would cost to, like, Ben Affleck, like, how cool would it have been to see some guy, like doing, like, combos on, like, a metal thing, like he's kung fuing, and like his screen goes off and Alfred like comes down saying, so have you seen this, and he's be like, I'm working on it or something like that. Like, that's all you hear, and that would have just been enough to be like, oh
well, not
God.
Even that, I mean, you could have that's what I'm saying, you could have ended so many ways. There's that way, there's the way where it's just all like
Lex
all you just see is like this much, and you know it's Lex Luthor. It says like Lex Luthor on his desk. He's all like, huh, this is a new kind of new
event.
Or even better, you could have even shot it all the way in space, had some guy going, oh, there seems to be one less Kryptonian, would you go get that for me? And then it's
Lobo, yeah.
And you're just like, there's so much stuff you could have just
like, oh, it looks like the Kryptonian is now on the endangered list.
And then you could have literally done like, even because Batman Begins was the only one that did that. Literally at the end, he's like, oh, nice touch with the light and everything like that. And then he's all like, oh yeah, there's this guy. He's like you. He's got a thrill for the theatrics and stuff like that. And he hands him the Joker card, and you're like, okay, so
build it up.
But then other than that, you could just take a fucking page out of Marvel's book. Just do it.
Do something cool for the fans. Like, I think for me, what would have been the dealer for me was like, have a body like on a slab. They open up the bag and it's Zod, and have him be like, what am I supposed to do with this, sir? And like, obviously he'd like Lex Luthor or Mr. Luthor, and have him be like, you know, like he goes, oh well. We'll be using it for experiments, and then have him just say something like, don't tell Wayne. And like, just leave it like that. And you would have been like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Like, what are the possibilities now?
See, because that's the only way I can see a Batman tying in with the Superman movie right now.
Because obviously he's going to come to Metropolis with a Wayne, like, Lex thing.
I understand
obviously
that. It's got to be something with the Wayne. Because that's what they did. Literally, like,
they did that with Kevin
Smith,
Dragon. Yeah.
Kevin Smith told Paul Dini, who actually wrote that Batman-Superman crossover before they had like their own shows and stuff like that. But literally, that's what they did. It was Bruce Wayne came to Metropolis to do what he was doing, a business deal with Lex Luthor or whatnot, supposedly. But really, Wayne was there to kind of inspect because he knew something was fishy with
Luthor. Yeah, and he started
anyways,
building the robots
and all this kind of stuff. So, I mean, there's like
military.
So much stuff you could like do with it. It's just like,
and that's why I loved it, because then it also had that whole aspect about like Bruce and like Lois. And then you're like, oh, okay, what's going on here? And, you know, obviously, because she like Clark hadn't even tried anything, he hadn't even asked her out, hadn't done anything, and like obviously she could like Superman, but same thing, he'd be like, so long, like, see you, Lois, and she'd be just like, right, like, you know, like, you don't want to do anything. So then like that whole thing with Lex and the Joker, like That whole thing was, like, brilliant.
Oh, I love when they did that in the Justice League, where the Joker comes back. And...
Oh, I love it, because that's, like, how they caught Batman. Like, they used him. Like, we knew we have somebody for that. Mm-hmm. And, like, they used, like, the Joker's, like, insight to how to get Batman. And that whole episode, Joker's just like, let's kill him! Let's die!
Yeah, I love that. Like, Joker's like, let's kill him. He's like, don't leave him alone. Like, he's saying, like, all these things, you know,
he's gonna to do. And then I love it, because then, like, Lex is the one who's very much like, no, we're going to use him to catch the others, and this is how we're going to do it. And that's the best line ever, is when he puts his hands in his pockets, walks away, like, and people say, I'm crazy.
Yeah.
Because it's like, yeah, like, he's the one who's like, he knows it. He knows what's going on.
Oh, God.
And that was such a good episode, because, like, he turned everyone against themselves. Like, that's why I thought it was great. It's like, Batman's like, all right, I'll get out of there. Like, he convinces the cheetah to let him go, and this person to this.
He paid Grog. Yeah,
he just paid Grog off, because that's all Grog cared about. He just wanted some more money, and he's like, oh, you were outpaid. I was like, that's genius.
Yeah,
like, how
it's so funny. But I also like the little trick thing is, like, the voice of the Flash was the Lex Luthor in Smallville, which I don't even know why they don't even pick that guy.
I know, seriously, like, he'd be a good character.
He's older now, so it works perfect. It's like... I don't know. There's so many casting. That's what I hate. When they literally said Joaquin Phoenix for Lex Luthor, I was kind of like, okay, are you just shooting names out of a barrel?
I think what
now?
Would have been hilarious is you had a – I think if they wanted to do, like, a funny ending is you have, like, four guys sitting on, like, a bus stop, like, waiting to go, and, like, have it say, like, Man of Steel, like, Man Saves Metropolis, blah, 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 alien thing averted. And you just have, like, literally, like – Tim Daly, like, come down and be like, do you believe this? And, like, they just have a conversation about this.
Yeah.
Then it's, like, you know, Conroy being like, you know, I don't understand this, like, whole thing. It's, like, it's, you know, rattles my cages. I can't even believe it. And then, like, at the end, he's like, what do you think, Mark? And have just Mark Hamill be like, I have the strangest, you know, it's, like, just have, like, a whole,
oh, I
like,
thought you were going to go
tribute.
A different route with that. I thought you were literally going to be like, it's four people on a bus, and it's Kevin Spacey.
Oh, yeah, that would be even better.
It's the guy who plays the guy from Smallville. Yeah. It's Gene Hackman.
Oh, that would have been even better. You know, like, all these people.
All
like,
the
you
people
know.
Who played Lex Luthor, you know.
That, no, what I do? I make them all janitors in Lex Luthor Corp.
Oh, my. That.
Like, that's what I would do. Just make them all, like, out there sweeping the floors, like, you know, get back to work, you know, and be like,
I
used to be somebody. Yeah, exactly.
We just wrote Man of Steel 2, people.
Yeah, exactly. There you go, folks. Get,
like,
get
was,
on it.
They're like, all they did was focus on these three
janitors.
There
was no plot hole. Yeah, there's so many plot holes. So many stains in that movie, and only the Man of Steel could clean it up with the help of Batman.
You missed a spot.
Yeah,
it's just like,
you missed a spot.
like, all these, like, catchphrases come from that, you know.
Speaking of Dark Knight, did you know Heath Ledger's in the background in the...
You were mentioning that to me the other day, like, where you're saying if you look into the back where
there's
the restaurant scene...
Yeah, there's a restaurant scene where...
Is that when he's introducing the girl?
Yeah, when,
like,
the girl comes
ballerina?
In. Yeah, so if you look closely, there's a picture, there's a scene where Heath Ledger, you can actually see his face. He's not in makeup or anything. That you just notice the hair and, like, his face. And then it does a back view, and you just see him again in the back. So I thought that was kind of interesting that they actually threw that in there. And, like, I mean, the movie's been out for like 4 years now,
and
I think
people are
just,
still finding
just
stuff. Yeah,
discovered it. So,
yeah, I'm gonna pull that up. I like. I think the best one I found for you guys was, like, I think Kevin Smith and them talked about it too. I was like, what do they call it? The one where it's like they've all these eyes have seen it, but it still hits the theaters, and they still have mistakes made in it.
Yeah, yeah. Shit that should not be.
Shit
yeah.
that should not be. That's what it was. It was a shit that should not be. That was like the Dark Knight Rises. It's the rooftop scene with Catwoman and Batman fighting.
Yeah,
and if you look at, like, one of the henchmen, he just, like, falls over. Like, he doesn't even do it. He, like, goes, like, back and forth, and then just, like, falls over. He doesn't even get punched or nothing.
Yeah.
And you're just like, wait a minute. Like, you know, that's, like, either the best henchman or the worst henchman.
I would think it was a smart henchman, because he's like, I'm not getting my ass kicked by a guy dressed as a bat.
Oh, yeah, they're showing it here, like, as a clip of the shot of Heath Ledger just sitting there, like, oh, hey. Yeah, and he's, like, right there, right in front, just like, hey, don't mind me.
Yeah, but it's like, you wouldn't even think to look for him, because it's like, why would he be there, you know?
Yeah.
So.
There's a few of them like that. That looks pretty good, though.
Rachel!
But, yeah, so, I don't know where we want to put a pin in this, because we're almost to about an hour and 30 minutes on
My
this
goodness.
Mark.
Well, we can put a pin. I guess what we'll do is we'll say, like, we can stop here, and we'll just say, like, tune in next time, kids, for an all-new continuation.
Yeah, we'll tune in.
Of just the Batman.
Of just
we'll
the Batman. I think next time we'll talk about, we'll go to the first two Tim Burton movies.
Yeah, we can start film.
The animated series, and then continue on from there
to, like, about
now. But hopefully this was enjoyable for you.
I had a good time.
Kyle and I just wrote Man of Steel 2, so.
So there you go. Janitors. We've got your four janitors picked for the scene. We told you how to end it multiple ways. That's all it should be, just a movie of endings. Just show, like, all these possibilities of, like, what are they going to do? And then tell Ben Affleck to come on our show because we...
Yeah,
told him how
like
to
he's
do
not
that.
Busy.
Yeah, I'm not doing nothing.
Kyle, where can they find us at?
They can find us all here at LongBoxCast on Twitter. Tune in next week when Steve and I will continue our discussion of the Batman and everything that he does that is magic. You can also find us on our website, longboxcast.com, and I think on Facebook as well under LongBoxCast. How about you, Steve? Where can they find you?
You can find me on pretty much mostly any show of the 4i Radio Network now, www.4iradio.com. There's another show, actually, me, Aaron, and Clay will be doing now. This is going to be a Star Wars podcast.
Oh, man.
I don't know.
Talk about Batman on that.
I don't know the theme of everything. Well, Mark Hamill.
Yeah.
I can tie. I'm going to
tie it all in.
Okay, you know that was it? Was
yeah,
90,
Kevin, yeah, 90, Nick 90, 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, 60 degrees to Kevin Bacon. I'm doing 60 degrees to Batman.
Yeah.
So
hey, there's that picture of him on a shark using a lightsaber.
There you go. So yeah,
how to get it?
Batman,
Mark Hamill.
but so there's that going on. Then I still have this other cartoon podcast I'm working on, and then hopefully I'll get my monster podcast. So basically, I should just be the poster boy for 4i Radio.
I'm the 4i Radio.
I am the 4i Radio. But you can find me at Stephen Mooney Jr. on the Twitter. You can also follow me on Instagram at S Mooney Jr. Don't forget to check out all the other great shows on the podcast, such as Starfleet Escape, Socially Awkward, The Fro Show, the Majesty Secret Podcast, all those great things. You can find them all on www.4iradio.com. And do we ever come up with a sign out for this? Should we just say like same cast channel?
Yeah, we could do that. Like, listen to us here at the Fern, the same cast time, same cast channel.
There we go. You can listen to us at the Fern on the same cast time and same cast channel, old chum.
Holy podcasting RSS feed, Batman.
Oh, nice. I like that. Took us 4 episodes.
Yeah, we got it. This has been another fine production of the 4i Radio Network. For more shows and or orgasmic experiences, visit 4iradio.com. Holy gee willy, Batman, try it again.
Holy crap, Steve, you fucked that up. Pow, kazam, shazam. I hate that kid.